Thank you, everybody. Jennifer, thank you for getting us started. I appreciate your heart. When people pray, you can tell a lot about people when they pray, so thank you. And Irene, thank you for the children's story. Appreciate that. Praise team, thank you so much for your time and with the Lord on our behalf, seeking Him as to what we should sing, and it's always a blessing, and appreciate you sharing your gifts with us. This is our last of a series of messages on spiritual warfare. And I'm going to start with a story this morning. It's a true story, a personal story. I was a Bible club advisor at Hemfield for over 30 years. And one year in particular, I had two club leaders that were in the same youth group that went to the same church. Blake was an 11th grader, and Danielle was a 10th grader. And they came in one day and said, "Mr. Wise, I'd like to tell you about our youth group activity." Okay. It was a scavenger hunt. I thought, okay, scavenger hunt. But it wasn't a normal scavenger hunt. It was a spiritual scavenger hunt. I'd never heard of anything like that. They were not looking for random things, but they were looking for people who either needed the Lord or needed a touch from the Lord in some way. What they would do as a youth group, they would meet and they would pray and they'd ask the Holy Spirit to show them and guide them to the right people that evening. And then they'd go out. They'd go to First Friday in downtown Lancaster and walk the streets looking for appointments. Or they'd go to Park City. And Blake was all excited because he was telling me about a young man he met at downtown Lancaster on First Friday, who he talked to and who received the Lord on the sidewalk in Lancaster because they had their scavenger hunt. And then Danielle went on to tell me that her and some friends went to Park City. And in their time of prayer before she went to Park City, the Lord gave her a vision. And she saw this woman in her vision, a specific woman who had a back problem. And so they prayed and they went to Park City and they were walking through Park City. And who's coming towards her but this woman, the very woman that she saw in her vision? She went up to this woman and said, "Hi, I'm Danielle." She's the sweetest girl, a 10th grade girl. And said, in Danielle's way, "I believe God wants me to talk to you and to minister to you." And she says, "You have back problems, don't you?" "I do." "Well," she said, "the Lord showed me this earlier today when we were praying." And she explained these things, and she prayed for that woman right there in Park City, and that woman received healing in Park City. These kids knew who they were in Christ, knew they had God's authority, God's power upon them, and they knew that they had that authority to use it in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can meet here in this place we call Teen Central. Lord, I have this message on spiritual authority, but Holy Spirit, I need you so badly. And I thank you that you're here to help me and here to help every person to receive those things you want them to receive this morning. Lord, I know when it comes out of my mouth, it's not always exactly as it needs to be, but take it and make it hit their ears what they need to hear, as only you can do it, Holy Spirit. So I trust you to do that in each of our lives this morning, including myself, Lord. This is as much for me as for anyone. And receive all the honor and glory, Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. So this is our last of a series of messages in spiritual warfare. And personally, I feel that this may be the most important of them. Not that there's a lot of difference in that way, but I just think it's so important. And when I first learned this truth, what I'm going to share with you, I realized how much of my former things I had been taught former things that I had in my mind had to be retaught. It's hard to do. That's me, old dog, new tricks, it's sometimes hard. But I had to realize that there was a more accurate truth that needed to be received from the Lord. And so that's my prayer for you this morning, that you'd receive this truth from His Word. So before we get into spiritual authority, let's talk about authority. What is authority? What does that mean? Who wants to? Anybody? What does that mean if you have authority?
Power.
Power. Correct. You're in charge. Someone in authority has a right to make decisions and give orders, correct? Enforce obedience. That sounds funny, doesn't it? Enforce obedience. Who are there people around us that have authority? Name some people or peoples that have authority over us in our lives. Police. Yeah, the police have authority over us. Teachers over the students, correct. Your boss, your employer, correct. Government. Government officials, yes, like mayors and congressmen and presidents. Actually, according to the Word of God, the husband has authority in the home. But the husband's supposed to love the wife like Christ loved the church, so she'll be more than happy to give into that authority with that kind of love. But there are all these people that are in our lives that have authority. Now, the question becomes, that authority has been delegated to them. From who? Ultimately, yes, but who gives the police authority? The government. The government. And who gives the government authority? God. Okay. So let's read or listen to Romans 13:1. Speaks to this authority. So if you have that, whoever has that.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God.
Okay, you heard that, right? No authorities are around except for that, except from God, and they are appointed by God. There is also spiritual authority, which is different than the authority we just were talking about. It's similar, yet it's different. As Christians, we have been delegated spiritual authority from Jesus Himself. Listen to Luke 10:19.
Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Okay. Jesus says it very clearly there. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. He's talking about demonic things here. And then he says, and over all the power of the enemy. That's who he's talking about. Not many Christians really understand the authority that we've been given by Jesus to be victorious in this spiritual war that we're talking about. We need to understand who we are in Christ. And so to know this truth from God's Word is essential. We've been given both spiritual authority and power over the devil and his demons. Satan would like us to believe that he has more power than we do. But that's a lie. He does not. By ourselves, we are nothing. We are weak. We are powerless. However, we're not by ourselves. John 15:5, Jesus says this, without God, you can do nothing. We all know that. But we're not without God. It says, we have one greater than Satan living inside of us, which is the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children. You have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Romans 8:37 says, for we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. So yes, by ourselves we're nothing, but we're not by ourselves. We have one greater living in us. How about Ephesians 2, 5 and 6?
When we were dead in trespass, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, the spiritual realm, in Christ Jesus.
Okay, hopefully you're hearing this. He's talking about our place that we've been given. It says we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, and we've been made alive together in Christ. And it says, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. What does that mean? That means in authority. He's sitting in authority, and he's pulling us up and setting us in that same place of authority. This in the spirit realm, and we are in Jesus Christ. We're no longer in sin. We are in Christ Jesus now. Seated with him and in authority that he's given to us. So you see, in the very beginning, God, being creator of everything, had authority and rule of everything in the universe, including the earth. Genesis 1, 26 to 28 says, after God created Adam and Eve, he said, to this is what he says, let them have dominion over all the earth. Dominion meaning authority and the ability to rule, which means God gave up his direct rule and control of this earth and delegated it to mankind. It's important you understand that. God, that's what he said when he said to Adam and Eve, he says, let them have dominion. That means rule and authority he gave to people, humans, on this earth. It was delegated to us. He openly did that. Other scriptures support this. Psalms 115, 16 says, the highest of heavens belongs to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. Psalms 8, 6, he says, you have made him, man, to have dominion over the works of your hands and put all things under his feet. So it's clear that we have this, been given this delegated authority of the earth. Mankind has it. Yet God still had ownership of everything because he's the creator. But he delegated this dominion, this rule, this authority over the earth to physical humans. So our topic this morning is spiritual warfare. Enter in Satan into the picture. He wanted to rule over this earth. So he deceived Adam and Eve, tempting them to sin and disobey God. And so complete was the dominion and the rule and the authority that God gave Adam and Eve that they could give it away. And that's exactly what they did. When they sinned, they gave the control and rule of the earth to Satan. And we can see this from Matthew 4, 8 to 10. This is Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness. This is what the devil says. So listen to Matthew 4, 8 to 10.
Again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he, the devil, said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
So here is Satan tempting Jesus. And you know, he was correct when he said that the kingdoms of the world were his and under his authority, and he could give them away to whoever he wanted to. Jesus does not refute that claim because it was the truth. As much of a liar as he is, he was speaking the truth, but he was trying to circumvent Jesus and get him to worship Satan. But of course, Jesus didn't bite on that. But other scriptures confirm who the ruler of this world was. In 2 Corinthians 4, 4, Paul says this by the Holy Spirit, calls Satan God of this world. Little g God, that is. In John 12, 31, Jesus himself calls Satan this, the ruler of this world. It's not because God made him ruler of this world. It's because he was given that position from Adam and Eve. The only reason Satan can oppress and dominate and cause problems he does in this world is because humans yield to him. And he's using their actual God-given authority over them to hurt them. So, many people have believed this lie, and it's a lie, Satan's lie, that God is the one who controls everything on the earth. Although God has a plan for the earth, absolutely, and his plan and his purposes for the earth will ultimately be done. We know that. However, he delegated authority and rule over the day-to-day affairs of the earth to mankind or to humans, which gave it to Satan. It would appear that things are really bad, and they are, because Satan wants you to believe that all the death and the destruction on this earth is from God. He wants you to believe that all the earth's problems, the suffering, the poverty, child abuse, rape, tragedies, terrorisms, wars, shootings, strife, disease, are all from God. That's what he wants you to think. That's what he wants people to think. God can and does bring good out of these obvious tragedies. I'm not saying that he doesn't. He works all things together for good to those who love God and are calling to his purposes. But God does not cause the evil. It's important for you to know that. God is not the one behind all the hurt and the heartache. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. It's no wonder when unbelievers are told that God controls the earth that they hesitate in following Jesus. I mean, who would want to follow a God who brings such things upon his people? In John 10:10, Jesus says this, the thief, that's Satan, does not come except for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So if there's something involved with stealing, killing, or destroying, you know who's behind it. Satan. If it's life, if it's good, it's Jesus. James says this in 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. The good gifts. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's why Jesus instructs us to pray this. We were singing it this morning in a song. I thought, yeah, way to go, Holy Spirit. I don't know why he prompts you to do what you do, but he does. It says this, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. That's what we're to pray, that his will be done on earth like it is in heaven. If it's not that like that in heaven, it shouldn't be like that on earth. That's what he's saying. That's what he wants us to be praying. So it would stand to reason that if God was in complete control of this earth, that his will would always be done. However, we know it's not always done. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord does not want any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Not one. He doesn't want one to perish. Are all people saved? Do all people walk with the Lord? No. Is it his will? No. It's his will that everybody be saved, but they're not all being saved, so his will is not being done. Even Jesus says this in Matthew 7:13-14. Who has that scripture?
Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
So it says very clearly in God's word that Jesus wills that all are to be saved. but his will is not being done because we have free choice. Jesus says, few are going to find it. Few. So his will, the point of this is his will is not being done. Not always, at least. God did not create us as puppets. He's given us this free will. We have the right to choose. God relinquished control in order to give us freedom to love him. He doesn't force anybody to love him. We have a choice. The truth is, God gave man control and declared him the ruler of this earth. Man gave it over to the devil when they sinned. People say this, God is God. He's all-powerful. He can do what he wants. That's true. He is all-powerful, and he can do what he wants. However, God will not contradict or take back his word that he has declared. It's important we understand this. Psalms 138:2 says, you have magnified your word above all your name. Meaning, God himself is in subjection to his own word. He operates according to what he has declared by himself in his word. In his written word, he will not permit himself to go against what he said in his word. He will not go back on it. He will not change his mind. When he said, I give mankind dominion and control of the earth, he meant it and he wasn't taking it back. So he has actually limited himself to what he can do on earth by his own word. Now, it would seem like God is in a real dilemma, right? The earth is being ruled by Satan, and mankind is in his grip. But God had a plan. He knew this was going to happen. He wasn't surprised. He had a plan. He was not surprised by man's sin. So to not contradict his word, and to yet bring freedom to mankind, and to recover their authority on the earth, listen to this, God himself had to become a man. When you understand this, it is like powerful. When I first got that, I'm like, poof, something went off my head. I'm like, oh my word. First John 1:14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory of the only begotten Father. To correct the situation on earth and to regain man's authority and rule of the earth, God himself came to earth as a human. Wow. This is why, I often wondered this, and I never understood it until I understood this. This is why Jesus always refers to himself in the scriptures as the Son of Man. How many people have heard that expression? The Son of Man this, the Son of Man that. I think, why does he call himself the Son? He's the Son of God. He's declaring his humanity and his right to have dominion and rule of this earth. Huh? That's powerful. You know, at Christmas time, we celebrate Jesus coming in the flesh as a baby. We sing about the silent night. And really what was going on was great warfare. When you look closely at this account, God came in the flesh to recover this authority and dominion for man. And Satan knew it. So he tried to kill the baby Jesus by putting fear and paranoia and lies into Herod's heart and had all the two-year-olds in Bethlehem area killed. Of course, Jesus was protected by the Father, sent Joseph by a dream down to Egypt with Mary. But God himself became a man. The devil was in big trouble. Because God couldn't intervene directly to solve our problems, he became a man so he could legally do it and have authority over Satan. So, this put the devil in a bad situation because Jesus not only had now authority in heaven, but becoming a man and without sin had authority on earth. Jesus says this in John 5, 26 and 27. For as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. He's referring to being a human with a physical body. Jesus was fully God and yet fully human and exercised his God-given authority as a man. And the devil tempted him, but Jesus never yielded. And Satan lost every battle with Jesus. Then Jesus died on the cross for our sins. 3 days later, rose victorious, praise God. And when Christ died for our sins, Satan was completely disarmed and defeated. Colossians 2:15 says, he disarmed the rulers and authorities. We're talking about demonic things, Satan. He disarmed rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And in this process of his death and resurrection, Jesus reclaimed and recovered our authority on earth. In Matthew 28:18, he says this after his resurrection. He says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and in earth. Acts 10:38, Peter says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know, Jesus did all his miracles not by using his power as God, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. You look through the New Testament accounts, he never did any miracles till the Holy Spirit came upon him after he was baptized in the Jordan. Then eyes were opened, lame were leaped, and the lepers were cleansed. Now Jesus has returned to heaven. And we're to do as he had done. We're to continue his ministry using the same power that he used, power of the Holy Spirit. It's available to us. And he has recovered our authority on the earth. This is why Jesus says this in John 14, 12 to 14. Read this here, whoever has that.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Okay. We chafe at this scripture. This is one we don't like very much. He says, the works that I do, he will also do. That's us. And greater things than these he will do because I go to my Father. And then he goes on to say, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. You ask anything in my name, I will do it. The phrase in my name is associated with the authority of Jesus that's been given to us, imputed to us. So as we minister in his name, it's as actually like Jesus himself was doing it. He's delegated that to us. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we are claiming that authority that he has given to us to use his name and use the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purposes, that they'll be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Acts 7, or 4, verses 7 and 10, Peter and John were at the temple, and they just healed this lame man that had been there for many years. And the Jewish leaders asked, by what power and in what name have you done this? And then verse 10, Peter says this, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. They wanted to know, these leaders wanted to know, where did he get this power and in whose authority did they doing it? In what name? And they told him. in the name of Jesus. It was clear that they understood who they were in Christ and used the authority that they were given and the power that was made available to them. Now, before Jesus returned to heaven, he gives the call to all of us, what we call the Great Commission in Mark 16, 15 to 20. He says this, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name," there it is again, "they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, will not hurt by any means hurt them. They will hands on the sick, they will recover." So then, after Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. We now have both been given both power and authority to help others and to set them free from Satan's grip in the name of Jesus. In effect, this is what Jesus is saying. I have all authority in heaven and earth, and I'm sharing it with you. This time it's different than when it was given to Adam and Eve. And that, in the garden, Adam and Eve were given authority. But this time, it's different. It's no longer just solely Adam and Eve or just us as people. It's a joint authority. It's a combination. It's us and Jesus. It's like we have a joint bank account with Jesus, and it requires both our signatures for the check to go through. Does that make sense? So our authority is shared, and he shares it with us, the church. So today, Satan is absolutely defeated and powerless against us. It's important that you really understand that. His only weapons are lies and deceptions. He has no ability to make you do anything or to touch your lives except when we believe his lies and we yield to him and his temptations. The only way he can touch us. So, we have this power, we have this authority. There is still a battle raging out there, folks. God wants to advance his kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth, through men. And the devil wants to deceive and use men to further his kingdom of darkness. So there's two kingdoms, kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. It's both working through people. It's easy to see. Jesus says this in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." It's the truth of his word that we're trying to get across to you this morning. We are the ones with power. We're the ones with authority to use that power. The only thing that keeps us from exercising it is a lack of understanding or believing his word. We need to renew our minds and realize who we are in Christ, that we are more than conquerors. I think it's important that we know that it's not our power, but God's power through his Holy Spirit in us. In Acts, Paul was using his delegated authority and power that he was given. He was doing miracles. The sick were being healed. Diseases were leaving people, and evil spirits were being cast out of people. And these seven sons of Sceva, you probably know this story, they were sons of a high priest who were not Christians. These seven sons of Sceva were not Christians, and they were out without the Holy Spirit. They didn't have him because they weren't Christians. They decided they were going to deliver this man from a demon. They thought, why should Paul get all the hoopla? You know, we can do this. So let's listen to the account here in Acts 19, 13 to 16.
"Then some of the inerrant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I exorcise you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul proclaims. The demons answered, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowering them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded.
Wow. Some story, huh? It's a truth. It's an account. It's not a story. It's a true account of what happened. These guys tried to do some deliverance ministry in their own strength and power, and they got left the place naked and wounded. Whoa. You don't want to mess around. Those seven sons of Sceva had no spiritual authority, and they had no spiritual power, and they were beat up good because of it. The interesting thing out of this scripture is that demons recognize valid spiritual authority. He says, Paul, I know. They knew that Paul knew he had a power and he had authority. And when he said to go, they listened because they know he had authority and power to do it. But these seven sons didn't have it, and they knew that too. So they recognize when someone represents Jesus and when they don't. Now, to help you understand our authority and our relationship to the power, I have this illustration that I found, which I think is very helpful. Let's say God's power is like electricity. You okay with that? We don't generate electricity. It's made at the power plant, say by PP&L. However, this power, we don't generate it, but it's under our authority or control. Meaning, although the electric is made available in your home, you will be in the dark and without lights unless you flip the switch on the wall. PP&L will not come to your home and turn on your lights for you. That sounds funny, right? But that's what we do with God. He has now given us all authority and power. And we are praying, oh Lord, will you do this? Will you do that? He says, no, it's not my place. I have made it available to you. It's here for you to use. You need to use and exercise your authority and flip that switch. Flipping that switch for us as Christians means moving in authority and power with our faith. Our faith is like flipping that switch. We don't generate it, but he makes it available to us. We're the ones that need to flip the switch. Again, Jesus won't do what he asks us to do. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. That's us. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Who is the they? Us. He's saying, that's your responsibility now. I want you to do this. He's commissioning us to do this. I've now given you this power. I've given you the authority to use it. Now go and use it. Flip the switch. We are his hands and his feet. I know you've heard that. It's up to us to command sickness to go, demons to leave. Mark 11:22-24, Jesus says this, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Wow. Those are powerful words. Do we really believe that? Jesus was not saying we're to pray about the mountain. The mountains we're talking about here are not physical mountains. They're obstacles or problems. He's saying we're not just supposed to pray about the mountain. He says, what does he say here? Say to the mountain. We're supposed to speak to the mountain. Command it to go in my name. Wow. Taking up our God-given authority and power. So once I've learned some of these things, I've prayed differently for people. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to go willy-nilly just running around praying for people for healing or demonic things to be gone. But the Holy Spirit will guide you and me in our daily walk of life, and he'll bring people your way, and you'll know when it's time. When he's asking you to exercise the authority and power he's given you, you will know it. And when that time comes, that's when you need to let that faith rise up in you and take your authority, take the power that you know is yours, and speak into those situations as God directs you through his Holy Spirit. My friend Bill Johnson at school, I know I shared some of these stories before, but had a knee problem. He's hobbling down the hallway, and he's a Christian man. I said, "Bill, what's up with your knee?" "Oh, I guess it'll be all right in a couple of weeks." I said, "Baloney." I said, "Come here." I prayed for him. We're passing. All the kids are in the hallways, passing between classes. I just pray a quick prayer for him for healing, and I commanded to be healed in Jesus' name. And I said, "I got to go." He said, "I got to go." And he hobbled down the hall. He said, "Mike," he called me before the end of the day, "Mike, my knee's completely healed before the end of the school day. My knee has no problems." He has not had any problems since. I mean, it's just a simple prayer. But I sensed the Lord wanted me to pray for him. Jeff Davis, this guy I was getting ordained with, I was taking these classes, and the Holy Spirit prompted me to pray for his back for healing. And I'm like, "Oh, that's too hard." And I didn't do it. The next week when we had class again, I saw him and he said, "You didn't do something last week you were supposed to do." He said, "You were supposed to pray for my back." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I wasn't. I was too scared." He said, "Would you pray for my back?" And I did, and he was healed completely. But that's when God was prompting me to do these things, you see? And I followed in his, what he's asked me to do. Like my life cycles director, I know I shared this with you before, but he had this polymyalgia rheumatica, and he was crippled, debilitating. He couldn't even lift up a cup of coffee in the morning. A godly man. And I just prayed for him, and he received healing and has been completely whole since that. And so, but I don't say, "Jesus, would you heal him?" That's not my prayer. That's not how I prayed for him. I said, "Lord, you love Lee DeReamer. He's your son. You took stripes on your back for his healing. Now I'm going to command this polymyalgia to leave in Jesus' name." That's what I did. I spoke to the polymyalgia. That was the mountain. I spoke to it. I said, "You leave in Jesus' name, and all the symptoms with it, leave in the name of Jesus." I told him to go. It wasn't Mike that did it. It was the Holy Spirit conduit. Just like this is conduit right here. This is me. What was going through me was the power, not electricity. It was the Spirit of the Lord going out through me. But if I hadn't have done that, he probably would still be hurting. You understand what I'm saying? Man. So, we just need to be obedient as the Spirit directs us. Just like Blake and Danielle, I learned from those kids. I mean, that when they told me that, I was like, "What? I never heard of that." I said, "You did what?" I was learning. I mean, God put these kids in my life for a reason. That's what they taught at their church. That's what they grew up knowing. That's just who they were. It was no big deal. That's just what they did. So, hopefully this is encouraging to you. That we're the ones, not Satan, who now have the authority and power. In conclusion here, I would say this. It's time for us to put our foot down. Not just letting the enemy have his way. You know, Jesus put his foot down. It says so in Genesis 5:13 or 3:15. God said to Satan, "Jesus, he, Jesus, shall crush your head." Jesus put his foot down when he was on the cross and crushed the head of Satan for us. So it's time for us to put our foot down and just not let him do whatever he wants to do. It's time for us to put an end to it. We are his body, his hands and feet, and we're to stomp on the enemy's head, set the captives free. So tomorrow, when you get up, I want you to know this is what the enemy's thinking. Oh no, Laura's up again. What am I going to do with Laura? Or Dave, he's up again. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? That's how we should look at it. We should not be fearing him. He's the one fearing us because we know who we are. He says this, "Behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." If God is for us, who can stand against us? We sing that. And in 1 Corinthians 5:17, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Your ways are higher than our ways, Lord. We thank you that you willingly came here to earth to recover what we gave away to the enemy. Thank you that you utterly, completely demolished the enemy, his power and authority over us. I thank you that you have given us now that power and that authority. Help us to understand this, Lord. I pray that these seeds that were planted in all of our hearts, Lord, would not just go to the wayside, but Lord, that they would take root and take hold, that we would know who we are in you. That we wouldn't just lay down to stuff that comes our way, that we would rise up with indignation and saying, this should not be, this is not this way in heaven, it shouldn't be this way in earth, and to take your authority as your spirit guides and directs us and speak to those mountains in Jesus' name and command them to go. And have faith to believe that you're going to do those very things that you said you would in your word through us. And we're going to be astounded, Lord, in what you'll do. It won't just be Mike up here talking about a couple of people that might have been healed here or there. But, Lord, we're going to have so many testimonies to share week after week of how you're moving in and through our lives. It's going to be beautiful. Yes, and these ripples are going to go out from Teen Central through Mannheim and through surrounding areas. Oh, it's going to be good, Lord. We call it revival. When the people are set free, Lord, help us to know who we are in you. Help us to be so sensitive to your Spirit's leadings and promptings, to take those steps of faith when you're asking us to and do it in your name. So, Father, as we leave this place now, we pray that we go with you, and that we're sensitive to you, and that our lives will bring honor and glory to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Uh-huh. Sure. Well, we are a conduit. The conduit just holds what the power goes through. Right, right, correct. Right, that's correct. Sometimes it happens. I prayed and anointed Greta how many times, and she's still not whole. Do I understand this? No. Will I keep praying for Greta? Yes. Will I keep believing that what I say is powerful? Absolutely.
But then you say that we have power.
We do. Yes.
If we ask in his name,
yes.
We do whatever we do.
Right. That's what he says in his word.
But not always. That only happens.
Now, his word is true. What he says he means, he means. It is his will for her to be well. It's not his will for her to be sick. He's already made it available. There's other things going on sometimes that affect it. I don't know. I can't say that. When you go to the doctor, does he always know what to do? No. Can doctors help all people? No. But they do the best they can. Look, I'm doing what I know to do. And when the Holy Spirit prompts me and I pray for someone and I trust that he's going to manifest something. I did that just here in 10 Central this week, Thursday night. There's a young man in a brace on his arm. His name's Nate. You can pray for Nate. He severely strained muscles and ligaments in his wrist, and he was in great pain. You could tell it. He wasn't doing anything but standing around. I said, Nate, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. And I prayed just as I told you I would pray. I did pray for him. I commanded the pain and to leave, and I commanded that these things be healed in Jesus' name. I prayed that the tendons and the muscles would be knitted back together and all the pain would go in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know if he was healed yet or not, but I did what I felt I was supposed to do. There's another woman here named Irma. She's Brian Miller's mom. She has TMJ, which is a jaw issue. And I prayed for her. And I commanded the TMJ to go in the name of Jesus. She didn't have any immediate results. But I did the same thing for Scott's daughter, Heather, was at our house in our basement. And she said, oh, I have this TMJ. I said, what's that? And she explained. I said, well, that shouldn't be. And I commanded to go in Jesus' name. That night she drove home. She said her jaw popped, and she's been healed ever since. Now, do I believe that was from my prayer? Yeah. So, do I understand why not everybody's healed? No. Will I keep praying like that? Absolutely. But you know, before I prayed like that, nobody was healed. I wouldn't have any testimonies to share you with people with polymyalgia or other things being healed because I didn't pray like that. Now that I've been praying like that, more and more people are being healed. It's like, wow. And it's not like Mike's special. I'm just a normal guy. Same things available for me as you have. But as God directs us, let's be bold. Let's know who we are and start speaking to these things. I know it's a whole other way to think. That's why I'm saying, yeah, you're going to have to take this and kind of work through it because it was different for me too. It took me time to get to this point. But now I'm there, I'm thinking, this is how it is. So I don't expect you to understand or maybe, I don't know. But I'll just let the Holy Spirit work it with you as he did with me. We're all works in progress, and I'm not there completely. Sometimes I think, Lord, is this something I'm doing not right? The healing's not manifesting in this person or that person? But keep going. And it's amazing what God will do when you just simply do what he asks us to do. And he's faithful. Thanks for the questions. These are good questions. Maybe my answers weren't great answers. I don't know. But back on the counter, I have a couple of little half sheets with some of the scriptures written down on them that I shared. So I wanted to print more out, but the printer died. I don't know why. Printers, isn't that always great? I sometimes do. I speak our work in Jesus' name. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I know it's a lot to take in. Just let it sink in. It's seeds. And I'll trust the Lord to let the seeds grow. So thank you for being here this morning. And let your light shine. You guys there's so much love in New Beginnings. I'm telling you, there's so much love in New Beginnings. Just be who God made you to be and watch what he'll do through you because he wants to do amazing things in and through you for his glory. Yeah.